This is Doug Gillard of Guided by Voices, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit DedicatedPresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Chris Anderson of Germantown, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Tom Rowe in Accra with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, April 6th. Go to the WGXC newsroom, WGXC.org, for more information about any of these stories. Nick Reisman reports at New York State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul said on April 5th that she and state lawmakers may not reach a budget agreement by her new extended deadline of April 10th. So Hochul and the legislature may pass another budget extender. The original budget deadline was April 1st. Hochul said, quote, "We've passed the first deadline. We'll be looking at it again on Monday, of course. But it's more important to get it right, and I'm committed to getting it right," unquote. Lawmakers and the governor still can't agree on changes or not to the bail laws and how to create more affordable housing in New York. Quote, "These are the issues that I'm laser-focused on, so it's taking considerable time," unquote, Hochul said. Read more about the story at New York State of Politics. Marie J. French at Politico reports that after a backlash from environmental advocates and lawmakers, Governor Kathy Hochul has backed off her recent proposal to rewrite the climate law to save money in the state budget. Hochul wanted to change the way some fossil fuels pollution was calculated, making it friendlier to gas and oil industries. Liz Moran, the New York policy advocate for Earth Justice, said, quote, "This is a conversation that really sidetracked us from being able to have a meaningful conversation for about a week. What took place over the past week should not be repeated," unquote. Moran said environmentalists will now focus on electrifying new buildings, limiting gas utility expansion, and a cap on utility bill expenses for low and moderate income New York residents. But with Albany talking about extending the budget deadline for a second time, positions on these issues could change. Read more about this story at Politico. Nancy Kern reports at Columbia Green Media that five developers want to put a solar farm on a 32-acre landfill at 211 Joel Austin Road in Cairo. Developer of 42 Renewables said at the Cairo town meeting on April 3rd that residents could purchase a subscription to 42 Renew for a discount on their utility bill if the town picks their proposal. Some residents at the meeting were skeptical of the plan, worrying about a future environmental mess. After hearing about an escrow account being set up to pay for removing the farm decades from now, one audience member asked, quote, "How do you appraise how much you're going to need to decommission? I know damn well you're not going to put enough money to decommission the solar farm because you don't know what it's going to cost in 25 years, unquote. New York State's Inactive Landfill Initiative is encouraging companies to find uses for the state's 1,901 dormant landfills. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And William J. Kemble reports in the Daily Freeman that Holtec International now wants to release radioactive water from spent fuel pools at the Indian Point nuclear power plant into the Hudson River as soon as May 5th. Holtec Vice President Richard Biruni, in a letter to the Indian Point Decommissioning Board, wrote, quote, "Releases are scheduled to be completed in three batches of 18,000 gallons each and will be limited to 45,000 gallons in total for this exercise. Following this release, there will be approximately 265,000 gallons remaining in the Unit 2 spent fuel pool," Currently, we plan to begin the total dewatering process of the Unit 2 spent fuel pool in the August-September timeframe, unquote. Thomas Stalder, a spokesperson for State Senator Peter Harcum, said, quote, "We know that prior to this point that dumping the radioactive wastewater was occurring, but now there's a tremendous amount of it stored on site, and Holtec is just trying to get rid of it as fast as it can. There's some concern with just how dirty this water is," unquote. Environmentalists have protested the release of radioactive water in the Hudson River, as have local officials such as Rhinebeck Village Mayor Gary Bassett, who said, quote, "As stewards of the Hudson River, we are concerned about any pollution into the river. Holtec's reckless decision to rush its plan to dump tritium as early as May should be stopped," unquote. Environmental activist group Riverkeeper President Tracy Brown said, quote, "We were hoping to work in good faith with Holtec to find an appropriate solution for disposal of the tritiated water, but it seems their hurry to make profit takes precedence over the people and health of the river." Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, April 6th. Local early morning temperatures range from 45 degrees in Medusa to 59 up in Tannersville. Regional average soil temperature is 48 degrees. Pollen levels will be low today and medium tomorrow. Rainfall chances show up around 9 a.m. Some people might see a lightning strike or two, and we get a high of 70 degrees at 1 p.m. After that, rain gets a little heavier, then comes to an end by 10 p.m. Overnight, we see a dip in temperature to 40 degrees. Tomorrow will be dry with a gusty afternoon and a high of 51 at 2 p.m. Overnight, we see a 2 or so hour dip below freezing. It's not much, hitting 30 degrees, but that can still damage developing plants. Saturday will be dry with a high of 52. Overnight, we have a longer stretch under the freezing point, getting down to 28 degrees. Then Sunday will also be dry and have a high of 56. Today's river temperature will be 44.4 degrees. The tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 7:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:26 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 5%. Solar wind speed is currently 382 kilometers per second at 4.5 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz till dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 37, and this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
You have the already global networks. So my argument is very simple. The present media is too large and wasteful. From now on, we should think about the more smaller media to diverse our culture and community. I have different idea on airwave. Airwave belong to the every people, everybody, not to the states or a government. Okay, I will make the transmitter now.
As I was going down the road with a tired feeling and a heavy load, out jumped the sheriff and he hollered out bail, and he locked me up in the Delhi jail. Rotten old pork he gave me to eat, sour molasses to make it sweet. They piled my coffee in a rusty old pail, and that's the way they used me in the Delhi jail. Now I'm free and out of that door. I pray the Lord I go there no more, for the birds am a flying without their tail. So to hell with the sheriff and the Delhi jail.
Barbara Moncur from the album Folk Songs of the Catskills. That was the Delhi Jail on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
Well, Wisconsin. Johnson, guess what? We did it! We did it!
Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Janet Protasiewicz celebrates following her high-stakes win in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The election outcome shifts majority control of the high court to liberals for the first time in 15 years and will likely determine the fate of the state's abortion ban and GOP-drawn legislative maps. Protasiewicz defeated former Justice Dan Kelly, who advised Republicans to use fake GOP electors in the 2020 presidential election. Brandon Johnson, a union organizer and former public school teacher, was elected mayor of Chicago.
Make no mistake about it, Chicago is a union town.
Johnson beat former Chicago Public Schools CEO Paul Vallis with help from the Chicago Teachers Union to succeed Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Johnson said his win represented a victory for a bold progressive movement. Crime and policing dominated the campaign. A North Carolina state lawmaker elected as a Democrat has announced her move to the GOP, giving Republicans a veto-proof supermajority in the state's legislature. Representative Tricia Contham would not comment on how her defection might change her position on abortion rights.
I'm going to look inside and I'm going to pray on this issue. And I know that's where I will find the answer, as I do on everything.
Contham represents the heavily Democratic Mecklenburg County. Democrats are calling on her to resign. In Tennessee, Republican lawmakers are working to expel three Democrats, saying they brought disorder and dishonor to the state house for taking part in a protest calling for gun safety laws. Representative Gloria Johnson says they committed no crime.
They are going with the NRA and the Tennessee Firearms Association instead of listening to the people of Tennessee. They're allowing children to die while doing nothing.
Hundreds of protesters gathered at the Capitol following the Nashville school shooting that left three adults and three children dead. EPA Administrator Michael Regan says his agency will strengthen limits on mercury emissions from coal-fired power plants, updating standards imposed more than a decade ago.
The good people at EPA are ready to take advantage of what we've learned from the past rules and what we've gained in terms of technological advancements.
Research shows mercury and other pollutants from power plants can harm the brain development of young children. Former Vice President Mike Pence will reportedly not appeal a judge's ruling requiring him to testify before a grand jury examining the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol. Pence could be a key witness in the special counsel's investigation into former President Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While the historic arraignment of former President Donald Trump dominated the news April 4th, a historic Supreme Court election in Wisconsin may shift the state's political landscape, and maybe even Congress. In a 55-45% win, Judge Janet Protasiewicz soundly defeated former Justice Daniel Kelly, shifting the Wisconsin Supreme Court from conservative to liberal. Her win may have a profound impact on pending issues with the court, most urgently redistricting. If the state's badly gerrymandered voting districts can be dismantled and a proper representative state assembly be elected in this almost 50-50 state, it could impact reproductive rights, gun legislation, voting rights, and other important issues. In 2011, led by Governor Scott Walker and the National Red Map Project, Wisconsin's legislature gerrymandered state assembly, Senate, and congressional maps. Despite receiving less than 50% of the vote, the 2011 maps engineered a 60-39 advantage in the state assembly and retained control of the state Senate in 2012. The further gerrymandered maps in 2021 resulted in a 64-35 advantage in 2022. Who upheld the 2021 map previously vetoed by Governor Tony Evers? The Wisconsin Supreme Court. It's not clear whether the Protasiewicz win will have an immediate impact on fair redistricting or if it will have to wait until 2031. We have links to articles at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Next, here is 2023 new music from African Head Charge. First sounds from them in 10 years or so. This song is called Microdosing on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Thank you. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Last Friday, Governor Hochul set off a political firestorm when she suddenly announced that she wanted to roll back the emission reduction goals in the new climate law. After a firestorm of protests from climate advocates, scientists, and lawmakers, she said on Wednesday that she won't push for the changes in the upcoming state budget, since she wants to focus on passing her cap and trade carbon pricing proposal. However, she indicated that she may revisit her efforts to gut the law post-budget. On Tuesday, climate advocates blockaded her office at the state capitol to protest her proposals. We hear from New York Communities for Change, the Westchester Alliance for Sustainable Solutions, the Sunrise Movement, and Food and Water Watch.
So I joined up with Wallace, one of the protesters from New York City Communities for Change. Wallace, what brings you up to the state capitol today?
Well, today I'm here with other activists, and we're urging Governor Hochul to really put forward the strongest package when it comes to climate and the state budget. We think it's pretty outrageous. At the dead of night, some legislators decided to file a bill that's basically sponsored by the oil and gas fossil fuel companies to weaken the bills that could really put us on pace to achieve our climate commitments.
Yes, I understand that what the governor is talking about is by changing the rules around methane from 100 years, from 20 years to 100 years, will actually reduce the amount of emission reductions that are needed. What are some of the things that New York Communities for Change would like to see in terms of, you know, the state working on climate?
Well, one, we can't allow that provision to pass. I think that is not what the community wants. That's definitely not what the climate needs. What NYCC is doing is we're building a coalition of activists and people in the community that really care about climate to really urge our elected representatives to really fight for the community and what's in the community's interests and not what's in the interest of big oil and big gas companies.
How should we raise money to pay for the climate transition, and how should that money be targeted?
I think we should tax the top earners. We're talking about billionaires. We're talking about corporations who, on average, do not have the same tax burden as working class people like you and I. We need to raise revenue through taxes, and that's what we're advocating for, that the top earners pay their fair share so we can fight the climate crisis at the scale that science and justice require.
My name is Vanessa Gudello. I'm with Westchester Alliance for Sustainable Solutions, as well as Energy Justice Network, and I'm here to defend the CLCPA. Right now, the governor is pushing a very aggressive campaign to gut a landmark climate policy that we fought for very hard for many years to get through. We finally got it through in 2019. We as climate activists should be fighting for so much more. We have been fighting for so much more. The climate jobs and justice package earlier this year. And it's really a shame that she's tried to sneak this into the budget very quietly. But we are vigilant. We're, you know, ensuring that the CLCPA doesn't get gutted. And that's why I'm here. I'm here to join climate activists to make our voices heard and make sure the New York legislature, as well as the governor's office, is aware that we won't let this down.
So what do you think about the general idea? Well, we need to cut back on the emission standards in order to make it more affordable for the average consumer in New York.
I think that saying that is to say that the costs that environmental justice communities are bearing are enough. I come from the city of Peekskill, which is an environmental justice community, right on the Hudson River. It's one of the poorest cities in the county of Westchester, Westchester being one of the richest counties in the country. And the economic disparity and the amount of fossil fuel infrastructure and polluting infrastructure that we have in our community is just staggering. This is the product of what happens when we allow for for-profit corporations who are looking to burn fossil fuels to go unregulated, to go to pretty much give the store away and let them do what they do, and which is poisoning our communities.
Organized with at Sunrise NYC. Give it up for Laura Beckman.
With Sunrise Movement New York City, we're a youth climate movement, and just over a week ago, we were protesting in Hochul's office in Manhattan on a similar topic, demanding that she put climate, jobs, and justice provisions in the budget and finally adequately fund the CLCPA so we can actually implement this ambitious legislation that was passed in 2019. And so we were expecting a fight to actually get Governor Hochul and the rest of the state legislature to put enough money behind this law to make it happen, to make this transition happen in New York State. And we know that we have the money. We know that the money is there for something as important as guaranteeing a livable future for young people, future generations in New York, and protecting us against future superstorms like the recent blizzard in Buffalo. So we know that the money is there. We knew that this was going to be a fight to fund the bill, but we didn't expect that she was going to try to pass a bill like this last minute to essentially weaken and gut New York's landmark climate law by changing how methane is accounted for. So this is like, this is really, you know, we're often in the climate movement reacting to everything as urgent because this is all so important, but we were really not expecting this from a Democratic governor. We're unfortunately maybe expecting it from Senator Kevin Parker, who Sunrise and DSA and other climate groups supported primary against him because of, you know, all that he's done for his fossil fuel donors. But now we see that Governor Hochul is doing the same thing, that she's taken $500,000 from the fossil fuel industry, and she's claiming that this is an issue of affordability, but we know that there are so many other ways that we can tackle affordability to ensure that our consumers have fair rates on their utilities. And that's not the real issue. The real issue is that she's taking $500,000 from the fossil fuel industry.
Now, give it up for Amber Ruther.
Whose lives are you prioritizing? The swarm of national grid lobbyists that we just saw storming the Capitol trying to get this pushed through the budget in an undemocratic way at the last minute? Or do you care about actual New Yorkers who elected you and got you voted into office? It is absolutely disgusting to see her trying to redefine what renewable energy is and change the definition to include things like biomass and anaerobic digesters capturing methane from manure, which is literal bullshit. And we absolutely do not want to be heating our homes with methane, manure, or anything other than renewable heat now. We need heat pumps, we need real climate investments, we need real policies in the budget that will get us off of gas rather than expanding gas, like the All-Electric Building Act, the New York Heat Act, and the Climate and Community Protection Fund, and also the Build Public Renewables Act. Let's pass real climate action instead of trying to roll back progress just because the fossil fuel industry is scared that their deadly business model is finally breathing its dying breaths.
My name's John Pope, and I'm a volunteer with Food and Water Watch. I heard about this, and my very first thought was, you cannot change the math and change the fact. We need bold action now. We don't need leadership that's carrying the water, the fossil fuel industry. We need leadership that's going to stand up and carry the torch of progress forward. You know, that's what we're talking about. This is progress. When we move to renewable energy, we move to an all-electric economy, we're talking about environmental and economic progress. Sitting back and giving the money to the same people that are getting the money every day, we're stuck in the mud.
Next is Laura Schindel of Food and Water Watch.
Just to add to what John said, you know, it doesn't take a climate scientist to know that we are way too late to consider building more fossil fuel projects. And that's exactly what this policy would open New York to do. It would skew facts, create alternative facts, which are just lies, to make it look like methane is not as harmful as we know it is. And we know that the climate crisis, we don't have 100 years to solve it. We've got like 10. And we're going to hit climate tipping points where our atmosphere and our Earth is going to get so warm that it is unmovebackable. So like, we don't have 100 years to mess around with this. We have a short time frame, which is why the CLCPA in the first place was measuring on a 20-year basis. And it's why we, in addition to all of the other disgusting impacts of fracking on our water, we know it's terrible for our climate because methane is 87 times more effective at trapping heat than carbon dioxide is in a 20-year time frame. And that's the only time frame that's relevant here. And so them moving the goalposts is a handout to the fossil fuel industry.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Put it there, boy, and we'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do. Well, I'm gonna tell you, fascists, you may be surprised. People in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascists, bound to lose.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nancy Kern at Columbia Green Media reports that Cairo Town officials said April 3rd they would build a new dual senior center community center and renovate the existing ambulance service building rather than housing the two under a single roof. The town's original plan to put them both together proved too expensive, according to town supervisor Jason Watts. Town councilperson Tim Powers said he saw black mold in the current ambulance service building that the town has not addressed. Now the town plans to completely renovate the building. Powers said, and I quote, "This has been going on for 14 years. They promised year after year they'd get a new building. The can's been kicked down the road so long. But just getting input from the board last night is overcoming a major hurdle that I'm glad we're getting over," end quote. The senior center will be a new building with a kitchen paid for by Greene County. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Greene Media that the Philmont Public Library is getting a $12,000 grant from Partners of Climate Action to help create the Philmont Pollinator Pathway. Different types of vegetation will be planted at the Philmont Library and four other public spaces on Main Street and at Summit Lake in Philmont to attract butterflies and other insects, bees, and birds. According to a 2022 study by the Empire State Native Pollinator Survey, 38% to 60% of New York native pollinators are at risk of eradication. Philmont Public Library Director Toby Farley said on April 4th that, and I quote, "Volunteers will plant native plants such as echinacea, blunt mountain mint, and blue stars. We're planting native plants, and the importance of the plants is that they're available to feed and protect the pollinators. And they're also plants that are especially suited for the area," end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Rick Collin reports in the Times Union that unemployment continues to fall in the Capital Region, with the Capital Region and Hudson Valley with some of the lowest jobless rates in the state. Locally, the unemployment rate in February was 3.3%, with only the 2.9% rate in the Ithaca area better in New York. A year ago, the Capital Region had an unemployment rate of 3.7%. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. WTEN reports that New York law bans televising trials with exceptions at a judge's discretion, but now legislators are considering a proposed change. A proposed bill sponsored by Senator Brad Holliman-Sigel would repeal New York's ban on cameras in courts during trials. Holliman-Sigel, a Democrat, said, and I quote, "I think many New Yorkers agree that we need transparency at every level of government," end quote. He said New York banned television in courts in 1952, and he said the media frenzy around the Charles Lindbergh baby kidnapping case in the 1930s was the cause. Now the new media frenzy, the trial of former President Donald Trump, may inspire a change allowing cameras. In that case, the judge denied media requests to waive the camera ban at Trump's indictment. Republican Minority Leader Rob Ort was skeptical on May 3rd, saying, and I quote, "I am certain that we would have members in our conference or in the legislature that might be concerned that it would turn into more of a circus than maybe it already is," end quote. Read the full story at the WTEN website. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grand. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, showers and thunderstorms are likely, then showers and possibly a thunderstorm after 2 p.m. The temperature high will be near 68 degrees. Thursday night, a chance of showers mainly before 8 p.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 41 degrees. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a temperature high near 55 degrees. And Friday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 31 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last summer, the asphalt in a 10-block area in the Los Angeles neighborhood of Pacoima got a fresh coat of paint and a street mural painted by a local artist.
It has the California poppy on it. It has the nearby mountains on it. It has community members in it. It has the sun.
That's Gina Polino with the nonprofit Climate Resolve. She says it's not just any paint. It's a special coating designed to keep pavement cool by reflecting the sun's infrared rays. Traditional asphalt absorbs and stores heat from the sun, making urban areas hotter. And Pacoima has a lot of pavement and little green space. So Climate Resolve partnered with the city and other local nonprofits on a project to reduce urban heat in the area. Manufacturer GAF developed and donated the coating, and volunteers applied it to streets, parking lots, and basketball courts. The team will monitor pavement and air temperatures over time, but Polino says that the initial satellite images and word on the street suggest the new coating is helping.
People definitely seem to notice that it's cooler, and they walk around and don't feel the heat as much.
Cities already budget for recoating asphalt, so Polino says they could easily adopt this technology if it proves effective. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1882. That was the day trade union leader and suffragist Rose Schneiderman was born. She arrived from Poland and settled in New York City with her family as a child. Her father died soon after, and Rose entered the workforce at the age of 13. She sewed caps and organized with the United Cloth and Cap Makers. Rose became a chief organizer with the New York Women's Trade Union League and played a prominent role in the 1909 uprising of the 20,000. While touring Ohio to rally support for women's suffrage in 1912, Schneiderman said, "What the women who labor wants is the right to live, not simply exist. The right to life as the rich woman has the right to life. And the sun and music and art You have nothing that the humblest worker has not a right to have also. The worker must have bread, but she must have roses too. She grew frustrated with the privileged middle-class women of the New York Women's Trade Union League and began organizing with the ILGWU. But she soon quit, aggravated by the leadership's indifference towards organizing women workers. Snyderman devoted her energies to women's suffrage. She would soon return to the Women's Trade Union League. By 1926, she served as its national president and became close friends with Eleanor Roosevelt. President Franklin Roosevelt appointed her to the National Advisory Board, where she wrote NRA codes for industries with women workers. Labor historian Annalise Orlek noted, Snyderman attacked sexual segregation in the workplace, tried to unionize women, called for state regulations of working conditions. She argued for comparable worth laws, government-funded childcare, and maternity insurance. Those ideas and dreams are the legacy of Rose Snyderman. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
All's my life I has to fight. All's my life I hard times like yeah, bad trips like yeah. Nazareth, you God got us, then we gon' be alright. And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even room with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in a twilight. We're pretty, and it's the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a mother, silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my face this all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? We hate poor, poor, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Right. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Be alright, huh? We gon' be alright. Be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house? You a car? 40 acres and a mule? A piano? A guitar? Anything? See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Live at the mall. I can see the evil. I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner. Put the candy pen in on a Rico. Digging in my pocket. And a profit big enough to feed you every day. Get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day I see cool. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog, my dog, that's all. Pick back and chat, I trap the bag for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God. When you know, we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate poor, poor, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Just dope. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
I remember you was conflicted, misusing your influence. Sometimes I did the same, abusing my power full of resentment. Resentment that turned into a deep depression. Found myself screaming in the hotel room. I didn't want to self-destruct. The evils of Lucy was all around me. So I went running for answers.
Hey.
say his name.
Across our eyes symbolizes that the fact that we see the bloodshed going on in this country and it won't be overlooked. So we need to let the world know, and you need to know, that silence is the enemy and sound is the weapon.
We shall not be moved. We shall not, we shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved. We shall not be moved like a tree that's planted by the water.
we shall not be moved. Fighting for our freedom, we shall not be like a dream that's planted by the wall. We shall not be moved. Fighting for our children, we shall not be moved. We're fighting for our children, we shall not be
situation. Palms up, little smirk, slow head shaking, trying to explain. It's true, nobody's got a clue. Everyone wants to be told what to do. So clap on the one, say soup on the two, and go now. Soup! Call the number, this is information. Again.
That was 2020 new music from Chick Chick Chick, 3 exclamation points. The song is called Do the Dial Tone. ¶¶